Imagine a $224 billion tidal wave just reshaping an entire national economy.
Yeah, and it's growing four times faster than the traditional banking sector. It's staggering.
It really is. So, welcome to this deep dive. Our mission today is exploring the private credit due diligence guide so we can help you understand exactly how private debt is compounding at this massive 20% annual rate.
Right, especially when traditional banking is, stuck in the dust at just 5%.
Okay, let's unpack this because the big question is, why are borrowers abandoning the big four Australian banks?
Well, it really comes down to APRA's strict Basel III and four capital regulations. They've basically squeezed the traditional banks right out of complex lending.
Yeah, I like to compare traditional banks to like these massive cargo ships. I mean, they take what, 8 weeks to maneuver a loan approval?
Oh, easily. Whereas private lenders are their speedboats. They can move from application to funding in just 5 days.
5 days, that velocity advantage is just wild.
It is. But what's fascinating here is how they do it. Leading lenders, like Resimac, use what's called a life event methodology.
A life event methodology.
Yep.
Okay, meaning what exactly?
So instead of a binary credit score rejection where the computer just spits out a no, they analyze why a default happened. Like, was it a divorce? Or maybe a sudden illness?
Okay, but wait, if I hear life event lending and, rehab phases, it kind of sounds like a rebranded subprime loan.
I mean, that's a fair question. The risk is higher upfront, sure,
Yeah.
but they use this graduate strategy. So in year zero, the broker solves the client's immediate pain.
Right, the actual life event crisis.
Exactly. Then years one and two are a structured rehab phase. They help the client rebuild.
Yeah.
And by year three plus, they actually graduate them back to prime banks.
Okay, so they eventually get back on the cargo ship.
Yeah, once the storm has passed.
But, unchecked speed leads to accidents. And this explosive growth has triggered some intense scrutiny from the regulator, ASIC, right? I'm looking at their REP 820 report here.
Oh, massive scrutiny. Because when money moves that fast, things get messy behind the scenes.
But if borrowers are getting the speed they need, why is ASIC so concerned about how the fees are structured?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's all about margin opacity. ASIC found that fund managers are sometimes secretly keeping up to 100% of origination and default fees.
Wait, really? So the fund managers are pocketing all the upside, but you, the investor, are shouldering the actual credit risk.
You hit the nail on the head. The investors hold the bag. And that's why they updated the RG181 standard to introduce the real and sensible possibility test.
Which basically means if there's a real possibility of a conflict of interest, it has to be aggressively managed.
Exactly. And ASIC isn't just trusting them to self-report anymore. They've launched this real-time surveillance pilot requiring weekly data submissions every single Thursday.
Wow, every Thursday, just to track defaults and cash reserves.
Yeah, they have to. Without that oversight, a slight market panic could, trigger a slow-motion bank run.
So, what does this all mean for you as an investor? Basically, brokers have to prioritize independent IVS 107 valuations.
Right, meaning third-party experts actually check the math on property values, not just the fund managers.
And you have to ensure they stress test their liquidity gates to protect your capital. But that leaves us with a pretty big final thought to ponder.
Let's hear it.
As regulators demand the strict weekly data and enforce objective compliance, will the empathetic, customized life event lending model actually survive? Or is private credit destined to become just as rigid and algorithmic as the traditional banks it replaced?